Travis, the movie 1993, the book Fire in the Sky, your real life story. Hollywood loves to portray things in its own little way. Did they do the same thing with the movie?
Yeah, they sure did. And, you know, I turned down so many offers over the years because I was afraid of exactly that kind of changes, fictionalization and that sort of thing. But I guess, I've got to console myself with the idea that, you know, a lot of the things that were changed succeed in symbolizing the way things really were.
Well, then eventually, you know, you had to acquiesce and say, okay, let's do the story. They gave you a bit part in it, too.
What happened was, you know, once I signed away my rights, I had no legal ability to affect anything from that point on.
Ah.
And for a long time, and, you know, as the script developed with the scriptwriter, it was much, you know, truer to the original incident. It was only after the studio and other producers got involved that the pressure came on to change things. And that was when I was starting to be kept out of the loop. And so, you know, like I said, I was powerless. And when I got wind of some of these things, I wrote letters to try to get them to not do some of these things. Some of that was partially successful, but basically they're a bunch of creative people and they want to be creative.
They did what they have to do. What were some of the issues that you wanted to change in the movie?
Changes that to me, you know, affected the experience itself. The script that I was provided with had the sequence aboard the craft completely omitted, so I had no inkling how far off that was going to get. But, you know, some of the other changes I was gradually persuaded were, you know, for the best. It was much easier to tell a story that didn't have so many characters. It just takes up a lot of screen time to introduce people and have you understand who they are. So the crew number was reduced, and that was just to simplify the telling. I had two brothers involved in the story, Don and Dwayne, and they were reduced to one named Dan. And, you know, that worked for the part of the story that they were telling. You know, in my book, I go into great detail and the differences between the way that my two brothers reacted. But basically, you know, the one role fulfilled that. And, you know, the skeptical point of view was put into this character, Sheriff Waters, that was really a combination of a number of people, a number of the lawmen, and sort of a voice for the, you know, the suspicioning investigator.
What did you think of the way they portrayed the inside of the craft and the aliens?
Oh, well, that, you know, was just totally, you know, missed it for me. You know, their reasoning was that there were beer commercials out with this sort of thing. You know, this was so many years after the original incidents, 15, 16 years, and what was extremely unusual at the time it happened had become more commonplace in American culture, and they were just, you know, afraid of showing something that the people had seen before. But, you know, I've gotten hundreds of emails over the years from people who say that they wish the story had been as it was, and I can't think of a single person who thought that the changes were an improvement.
And again, James Garner played Lieutenant Waters in the movie. Was that pretty lifelike, his character?
Yeah, like I said, if you consider him to be several lawmen rolled into one, there was the town marshal here, and then there was the county sheriff and several deputies involved, and even some skeptical investigators outside of the area whose, you know, voice were all rolled into James Garner's character. And that gave, you know, a focus for that particular end of it. Personally, you know, I wish they had stayed with the real story, and there was even a group of people who were, you know, trying to get the studio to sell them the rights to the movie and reshoot the end and do it the way it really happened, but apparently wasn't financially feasible, at least not yet.
How did you like the portrayal of you by D.B. Sweeney?
I think he did a great job. You know, of course, you know, I had a lot of misgivings, especially when in the early days of the casting. You know, when they were picking various people, I thought, oh, I hope it's not going to be him. you know, they were well-known actors, but still, people I didn't feel really represented the kind of person I was. I think. You know, each actor had their own approach to it. The guy who played Mike Rogers, he wanted to meet Mike and know as much about him and me as possible. DB's take was to not meet us so that he wouldn't be affected by, you know. He was scared, well, what if I didn't believe him, you know? Then how would I be able to, you know, portray this, you know, the reality of this? But, you know, he said that after he'd met us, you know, that turned out not to be a problem, but at the time going into it, he was afraid meeting us would be something that wouldn't help him, you know, do his job. So,
Travis, if I remember, when they found you in the movie, you were like cowering in the corner of a phone booth, and you didn't have any clothes on. That did not happen for real, did it?
No, I was you know, slumped in the phone booth, all right, and I was in terrible, you know, state of breakdown, but. The nude thing was just, you know, Hollywood trying to, you should have seen what they had planned. They even shot some stuff that didn't get used, fortunately. But I guess every movie's got to have its nude scene, they think.
Even with aliens, right?
Yeah.